It's my great joy this morning to get to introduce one of my longtime friends. We met in the late 1970s when we were the interns. Have you ever been interned somewhere and you understand what that means? And that's kind of how we met. And we've been able to travel around the world, around the United States, doing ministry with students, using students, having them be a part of it. He's out of Florida, but more than this, he's a friend of this church and a friend of this community. Over 20 years, we've been in school assemblies together. Would you welcome this morning, Reggie Dabbs?
Absolutely. Good morning. Hey, how you doing? It's a little cold. Not as cold as it was last week. I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota last week. It was so cold, I almost turned white. That's as funny as it's going to get, sir. You should have laughed. It was just like, that's it right there. We're going to have a great day. It was a great day. Everybody, do me a favor. Say this. So will I. Not bad. Say it again. Say, so will I. Now, look, you're going to get tired of that, but every time I say it, you say it back to me. So will I. Just one more time. Say, so will I. Today, I want to talk to you about something very, very important, and I want to show you something that's very important. The world we live in is full of people telling you who you are, what you should do, and where you should go. And the greatest example is online or with your phones. You know what? I had a college bring me in, and they said, back in the day, how did you book schools? Because when I started speaking in public schools, there were no internet. I'm 53. So when I was 22, I found a book at the library that listed every high school, middle school, and elementary in the United States of America. I would copy off the addresses and send them a letter of introduction with letters from principals saying that I should do an assembly program at their school. At the end of it, I would say, you need to call this number Monday between 1 and 3. Whoever calls first gets the first assembly program. And I would sit in a church office by a phone from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock every Monday waiting for the phone to ring to book schools. That's how I did it then. Now they go to a website, watch a video, and book me online. It's so much easier today. But look, if it's that easy in a good way today, it's so much easier for people to get messed up. You don't even have to say a word. Just show a sign. Obviously, this ain't good. Somebody broke my heart. But if that don't help, I don't even need to explain this one. Everybody knows what that means. But what we really want in life is something like this. You see, here's the deal today. If we don't realize who God is and what God has for us, we can never become what God wanted us to be. So today, I want to show you who God is and what he has for you. But I also, not by myself, I'm going to play a little saxophone. I got to. I was told if I didn't bring my saxophone, to leave. There's true love right there, all right? But see, God wants us to do something today. He doesn't want us just to know that he loves us. He wants us to be the mouthpiece to tell the world he loves them. The video you just watched about Urban Soul, that's amazing that in the community, in the secular world, your church is known as people who are citizens to this city, citizens to Oklahoma, citizens of America. So if they needed help, they're going to come and knock on pastor's door and ask for help. Why? Because guess what? We're a part of this world, and we're the influence that God has. Pastor said it. Y'all going to think me and pastor sit and talk. We did not. He was in prayer when I got here this morning. I said, hi. I walked in, sit down, and during the course of the opening and watching everything, I have the absolute perfect sermon for this church this morning. And I think you better get ready. Somebody say, so will I. In the balcony, y'all got to help me. Say, so will I. On the floor, say, so will I. So let's do this. Let me show you who God is. You might know this. So if you know it, you got to help me. Here we go.
Thank you.
Man, look at your neighbor and say, he's good. Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, so will I. So in the world that we live in and how we live with people and a world full of emojis and a world full of broken hearts and a world full of people who are happy and a world full of poo-poo. You know what's really crazy? What's crazy about all these things is we literally start believing what other people put on us. We totally forget the good, good father and start believing the dumb neighbor. You can't live your life the way other people see you. Let me do that again. You can't live your life the way other people see you. Let me try that one more time. You can't live your life the way other people see you. People will always label you to make themselves look better, look stronger, have to have somebody underneath you to do what you want them to do. But the day comes when you, as a Christian, have to believe what God made you to be, how he sees you, who he is. His nature is not this. His nature is this. It's definitely not this, but it's this. And even though you feel like this, he sees you like this. So let's watch it. Now, I don't know if you know about your young people, but you got some of the greatest young people in the world. I'm telling you, great, great young people. And to be honest with you, just about a month ago, these young people were with me in Dallas, Texas. They were doing dramas on stage in front of about 3,000 young people. And next month, in March, your young people are traveling to Knoxville, Tennessee, where there's 20,000 kids in an arena that will watch them do what you're about to watch them do now. They're going to do this in front of 20,000 people. And somebody's life is going to be changed because of Owosso, Oklahoma, and First Assembly in Owosso. So I just thought, hey, if we're going to do it around the world, I should show you what your kids look like when they're with me. And I watch, because one girl, she's starting to believe what everybody's saying on her phone, when she really should believe who God says she is in the Word of God. So watch close. I know. Some of you are like, okay, this is not the Sunday morning I was expecting. But here's the deal. You see, when the world puts it on you, then you decide what way out of it. There's only one way. Become like the world and then do it to somebody else. But that's where the church comes in. Clap for my kids. Give them a hand. They did great. Leave it. Oh, that's good. No. Look. Now I know I got your attention, so let me show it to you. Look in the Bible. This is who Jesus is. This is who God is. This is who we serve. This is who we love. This is what it's all about. Turn in the Bible to Luke chapter 15, verse number 4. Luke 15, 4. Now do me a favor. I'm not going to be here long. I hate preaching long. We're going to beat the Baptists to the buffet today. They're not eating all the white meat today. I'm getting me some of that chicken breast up in here. Somebody say amen. All right. Now look, here it is. Now look, I got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be totally honest with you. This is not me. I am not this, but this is who God is. This is who Jesus is. And you need to get a glimpse of the guy that we serve, the guy that we love, the church that he put on this planet, and what we must do for other people. You see, our rules won't change the world. Our love will change the world. I don't think y'all got that, all right? I'm telling you, the way we love each other, the world becomes contagious. It's like the flu. It's everybody gets the flu, especially this year. But you know what? There's a good flu out there, and it's the presence of God in the life of his people. And it can be contagious Monday through Friday, not just on Sunday and Wednesday. Amen? All I need is two people. Somebody say, so will I. Here's what it says. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? My answer is no. At least I still got 99 sheep. Ain't my fault if one little sheep ain't got no sense to stick up with his brothers and sisters. None of y'all think like that? Well, okay, leave me on an island. I'm still going to tell you what I feel. I'm not leaving 99, especially if it's Monday Night Football and the Cowboys are playing. I'm going home to watch a game. But no, not this guy. He says he stays up all night. In verse 5, and when he finds his lost sheep, he puts it on his shoulder, goes home, calls his friends and neighbors and says, rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. Oh, no. Can you imagine being up all night? Finally, about 3:30, 4:30 in the morning, you hear, bah. I'm like, bah, you. I'm telling you, that lost sheep, the one lost sheep, he a teenager. You know he is. We like to blame it all on teenagers, don't we? Like an adult won't get lost. Are you kidding me? See, even adults forget who they are. Go ahead, girl. All I need is five people to go with me this morning. I'm just saying. I know it's cold. You ain't used to that. And you had ice. It was an ice skating rink last night. Your whole town. Hey, listen to me very carefully today. In the short time that I'm with you, I need you to understand something. If you've lost your way and you're saved today, somebody helped you find your way back home. And it was probably somebody with skin on that has veins and bloods and a heart and a lung and then kidneys. I mean, it's probably a human that showed you your way. Isn't it time for us to start showing other people that the world may label you this, but Jesus labels you that, that we got to live this life 24/7 so that the world may know him? It's time for us. Somebody say, so will I. Even though it's not my nature to take this little sheep and go home and be happy. No, I would call my neighbors and I'd tell them we're having lamb chops tonight. I'm just saying. But not this guy. He says he rejoices with his friends. I found my lost sheep. Then it says, I tell you the truth. In the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Somebody say amen. So all heaven rejoices over one sinner more than 99 good people. So if you actually good up in here, you don't matter anymore. Because you're already home. Shouldn't we go out and tell the world? Somebody say, so will I. Matthew chapter 25, verse 35. This is what the Bible says. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous would say to him, Lord, when did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Then the king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it unto me. Everybody say, brothers and sisters of mine. You know what that means? God puts us in his family. We're part of his family. Brothers and sisters of mine, we're part of his family. He never intended for his family to have any of these emojis, any of them, none of them, none of them, none of them. He didn't intend for them to be labeled by the world. He intended for them to help him label the world. Are we labeling the world? Somebody say, so will I. Now, the best way for me to do this is to make it personal. Everybody say, make it personal, Reggie. So let's make it personal. Here's the way it goes. It was 3 days before Halloween. I ran out of bottled water. So I went to Walmart to get more bottled water. So when I went to Walmart to get bottled water, don't be looking at me like that. Y'all looking at me like, oh, you go to Walmart? You know it's cheap. Shut up. You go too. When I got to Walmart, I got my little buggy from the greeter. You know what I'm talking about? I went in the back and got me one of those cases, 24 bottles. Hey. I went up front and I got in the checkout line, and I was behind a mom and her six-year-old son. Now, the mom was putting her groceries on the checkout belt. The six-year-old son was just checking out the store until he saw a sign that said, Halloween costume, $7. And the little brother went crazy. He was like, Mom, Mom, Mama, Mama, Mama. And the mom was like, for the love of God, what? And the boy says, Mom, look, I'm Batman. Mom, you got to get it. It's only $7. Please, Mama, please. And then the mom said to the son, baby, we've been learning about not interrupting people, and I got to get our groceries on the checkout belt. When I'm done, you can ask me, but you got to wait your turn. He's like, sorry, Mom, sorry. I'm a little excited. My bad. The mom turned around, got the rest of her groceries on the checkout belt. When she turned back around, she was crying. Actually, she was weeping. She got on both knees, pulled her son in close, not caring who was hearing her. The cashier is still checking her groceries out. She says, son, I hope you understand. I'm so sorry. This is all the money that we have. I don't get paid till after Halloween. But I promise you, I'll make you a costume. You'll be awesome. But you can't be Batman. You just cannot be Batman. Little boy reached up, wiped a tear off his mom's cheek, kissed her on the cheek, and said, it's okay, Mama. I know we poor. But Mama, don't you ever forget, I'm Batman. The mom hugged the boy one more time. She stood up, paid for her groceries, taking her groceries, putting her in her cart to push to her car. I put my water on the belt. Cashier looks at me and says, can I get you anything else? I said, yeah. Can you run over there and grab me a Batman costume and put it in a separate bag, and I'll give it to that lady outside? She went, well, how do you know them? I said, I don't know nobody. I ain't from here. And the cashier goes, well, why are you? I said, look, Sherlock Holmes, keep asking questions. I ain't going to be able to give the boy his costume. Now, you know what that lady was asking me? She was saying, why do you know them? I didn't know them. So she was going to say, then why would you buy something for somebody you don't know? Are you kidding me? That's why the world does this, because they don't understand who we are. They don't understand what this is all about. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for God is with me. They need to know that God's with them. And the only way they're going to know that God's with them is if I go to that valley. If I go to the shadow, if I go to the death, though I've been there before, I know my way out already. I can lead someone else out too. Somebody say, so will I. Come on, so will I. I think I'm glad it's cold. I'm glad not everybody's here, because this is probably not for the masses. It's for that nucleus in this church, that nucleus in this church family called Owosso First Assembly. It's time for you to reach more than you've ever reached before, to go further than you've ever gone before, to do more than you've ever done before. It's time to go and save the lost, because he's coming back. Oh, has it been a while since anyone said that? Don't get caught up in this, because he's about to come back. And we got to work while it's still day. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, so will I. Touch your other neighbor and say, so will I. She gave me the costume. She went and got it. I paid for it. She put it in a separate bag. Then she said, I'm coming with you. And she reached up and turned her light off by her register. Now, that was cool. She can go, except there's six people behind me in line. She looked at them and said, y'all better find somewhere else to go. We walked outside. I saw the lady. I walked over and said, excuse me, ma'am, you forgot a bag. When she looked down and saw the costume, she started crying. She said, why did you do this? I said, because your son, he's Batman. Hey, forget it's Halloween. Forget any of that. I'm going to tell you right now, hope came. I could have stopped at Target. I could have stopped at another Walmart. But God put me in the right place at the right time to be him. Some of you are like, wait a minute. God wouldn't buy a costume. Yes, he would. And it would have been a Batman, because guess what? He invented Batman. And you want me to prove it? Watch this. Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Wolverine. All these super fictional heroes that we go to the movies and watch and love, all of them have come from one word. They're just one word. You know what that word is? Empathy. Empathy. When you care about what other people are going through, you put yourself into their shoes. Superman don't need people. The only reason he cares is because he does. And empathy, that word was invented with Jesus Christ. Because only Jesus can invent empathy. When he stepped off his throne to become a man, knowing that the ransom had to be paid for my sin, and Jesus became a man and died on the cross, and on the third day rose again to make a word, empathy, so that everybody can know, no matter what you're in, no matter how bad it looks, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. My brother's going with me. I like that, man. Keep saying yeah, man. Keep saying yeah. Anybody feel this room changing a little bit, shifting a little bit? There's somebody in the next 5 days that need Jesus. Listen to me. In the next 3 weeks, I'm here for 3 weekends in a row. 2 weeks, 3 weekends. I kind of tried to add it. It's over 60,000 kids will hear me speak in a public school in Oklahoma in the next 2 weeks. Now, hold on. Do you know why? Because of your youth pastor. He could have just brought me in, like we always do, and stay here and do this town with your people here in Owosso, at every school. I'm doing them all, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders will hear me. But he decided, no, we got to hit the whole state. He said, give me 2 weeks. Just give me 2 weeks. And now here we are. It'll be our first time ever in Broken Arrow High School. And the only reason, are you ready for this? We're doing everybody in Broken Arrow. Stand up. 2 years ago, he asked me to go meet his principal. 2 years ago, he had like a tie on. He looked all decked out. And we went and met his principal. And 2 years later, we're going to change some emojis at Broken Arrow. We're going to Jinx. We're going to Jinx. So we got Broken Arrow, Jinx, and Owosso, three of the largest high schools in the state of Oklahoma. Three of the top 50 high schools in the United States of America. Why? Somebody say, so will I. Come on, say, so will I. Say, so will I. Do you have time for one more? Can I do just one more? Everybody touch your neighbor and say, you better listen. Touch your other neighbor and say, you got to listen to this, man. And here's what we're doing. We're changing this. We're changing this. We're changing everything. Because the church has the ability to rip off everything that's been framed in someone else's life. We just got to choose to do it. Now, in order for me to do this before I pray, the only way I can do this, I got to brag a little. And it's not really bragging. I just got to explain it the right way, okay? Now, look, I fly a lot. I fly a lot. On American Airlines, with partners with an airline called Qantas Airline in Asia Pacific, I am a 1 million miler, okay? So I fly a million miles on that airline. On Delta Airline, I am a 3.5 million miler. I just hit 3.5 million miles, and I'm 53. I'm the youngest person ever to hit 3.5 million miles on Delta at 53 years old. You know why? Because I preach the gospel around the world. It's the only reason I get to do that. So, but because of that, there's some cool things. I rarely get to sit and coach. I get to sit up front. I like that. Now, Delta got this thing called the Sky Club. Sounds a little swanky right there, don't it? Well, it is. And I get to go there, and they take care of all my flight. If something goes wrong, they put me on the plane first. It's just the way it's cool. Now, saying that, here's what happened. Last March, my son graduated from college. And when he graduated college, we all went to Orlando where he went to school. And we were graduation. And he graduated on a Friday night. It was awesome. On Saturday afternoon, I had to fly to Dallas to preach. It was the day that all the computers for Delta crashed. All the computers crashed. So I'm driving in a rental car to the Orlando airport. The radio's on. And the radio goes, if you're flying out of the Orlando airport, call your server now because the computers crashed and your flight may not be leaving. So I called and they said, yes, your flight's going to leave. Get to the airport on schedule. Make sure you're there. I said, cool. I get there. There was 1 million stranded people at the Orlando airport. That's a lot of people in a small place. When I got there, the line to check in was outside down the street. I'm thinking, this is crazy. Then I saw something. There was a lady with a red jacket holding a sign, and the sign said, Reginald Dabbs. That's me. Even if it wasn't me, it was going to be that day. I saw the last name. I'm like, there ain't a lot of them in the world. It's going to be me. So I said, excuse me, why is my name on that? She goes, Mr. Dabbs, I'm glad I found you. Give me your bag. Come with me. Let's go. We were gone. I'm passing people. I wanted to look up and wave, but I didn't because you shouldn't taunt. You were Christians, okay? So I'm like, hey, let's go. Let's go. She took me and said, I'll give you your luggage tags at the Sky Club. I went, cool. I'm going. I said, just go. You know where that's. I know where it is. Go to the Sky Club. I'll give it. And come through here. Come back. I went behind the ticket counter through these little hallway. She opened the door and I'm on the other side of security. I said, nobody checking my bag? She goes, Mr. Dabbs, if you were going to blow up a plane, you'd have done it a long time ago. And I said, I'm glad you whispered that. She goes, I'll see you at your Sky Club. I said, no problem. So I go up to the Sky Club, and this lady goes, Mr. Dabbs, my name's Lisa, and I'm going to get your tickets for you. Enjoy the beverages and the snacks. Okay, look, the Sky Club has this cool thing. Every now and then, they have cheese with bacon inside. In the cheese. You don't even have to wrap. It's already there. You know there's a God up above who loves us down below. When they put bacon in the cheese, I was having a good time. I could care less. Let my flight not leave. I'm eating the bacon and cheese. And Lady Lisa goes, Reggie, I got you ready. She gave me my ticket. She goes, have an enjoy your flight. It's in 3 hours. You got time. And I decided, dude, I'm in an airport with 1 million stranded people. Somebody mad. Somebody is going to do something that I can video and put on YouTube. So I walked outside, and I'm standing outside the lounge, and I start walking down the hall, and I saw a lady. Now, this is crazy, but she was sitting on the edge about 4 rows back and in the little sitting area, and she had her head down. And every now and then, she would take her tissue and just go like this and put her head down and go like this. And I realized, Grandma crying. So I was like, I wonder why she's crying. Somebody say, so will I. Are y'all with me? Is everybody with me? Y'all good? You good up there? Okay, good. She's good. You good over there? All right, 3 black people. Y'all good? All right, good. All right. They really are. I'm just saying, all right? It's like they're like, oh, okay, here we go. Here we go. I walk over, because here's the deal. You wasn't just put here to watch people cry. We were put here to change their emotions. And we don't do it by posting something online. We do it by, I walked over, got on one knee. I said, hey, Grandma, why are you crying? Why are you crying, Grandma? And she looked up and she said, oh, I'm sorry to bother you, but I just, they said I won't be able to get to Kansas City until tomorrow night. And I got to get there because they're burying my son in the morning. He was in a car accident. I just want to say goodbye to my baby. I said, Grandma, this is your lucky day. I think I can help you. Come on. Is this your bag? Come with me. She goes, who are you? I said, I don't matter. It'll be all right. Come on. We're going to the Sky Club. She goes, ooh, that sounds swanky. That's where I got that word from. You know, if you're 95, you can say swanky and it sounds good. So we went. We go up the elevator. Doors open. And I was thinking to myself, I hope nobody's with Lisa. I need Lisa. Because the way Lisa seemed, it seemed like she had a word called empathy. I need that word. Because, see, sometimes it takes a village to save a life. Are y'all with me this morning? Is this too boring for you? Okay, I just got to get it out because I'm just telling you. I'm still trying to figure out how to end this sermon. But it'll be all right, okay? We'll get there. But all I know is this, that I said, Lisa had nobody at her computer. I said, Lisa, how you doing? She goes, Mr. Reggie, what can I do? I said, this is Grandma. And, she got to get to Kansas City, and I was wondering if we could help Grandma, because Grandma needs to get to Kansas City. Her son died, and she wants to say bye, but they can't get her there till tomorrow night. Immediately, a tear rolls down Lisa's face, and I'm like, I got her. This is going to be good. She goes, give me your ticket, Reggie. Hey, get her something to drink. Get her some of that cheese with the bacon. I said, there's no more. All the cheese is gone. Shut up, young people, shut up. I told you it was good. she said, all right, I'll get her something to drink. So I said, sit down, Lisa. And I got her something to drink. All of a sudden, Lisa goes, Reggie, come here. She goes, look, gate 72. You got to get her there now. You got to get her there right now. I got a golf cart downstairs. Take her down. I said, come on, Grandma. We're going to Kansas City. Let's go. So we go down there. There's a guy right there with the golf cart. He goes, you Grandma? You Reggie? Get on. We got to go to Kansas City. Let's go. So we fly down the hall. We get to gate 72. The ticket agent at gate 72 goes, hey, Reggie, that Grandma? Oh, she the cutest thing. Put her on the plane. We got to go. And he goes, Reggie, you can walk her down. He goes, by the way, I hooked you up. I said, all right. And we're walking down the jet bridge. I looked down. It said first class. She was in 2B. So I go down and I said, Grandma, this is your seat right here. She goes, I can't be up here. I don't belong up here. I said, oh, yes, you do. See, the world needs to know they belong. They need to know they belong, and they need to know they don't belong just on the plane. They belong on first class. If you've never heard me, I grew up in foster care. My mom slept with a man for $20 to get food for my brother and my two sisters. So my mom was embarrassed of me. So my mom kept my brother, kept my two sisters, and gave me away. I grew up in foster care my entire life. But guess what? I sit in first class every time I get on a plane. You know why? Because of this. Jesus changed my emoji. The world says I was nothing. The world said I couldn't be nothing. The world said I wouldn't go anywhere. But Jesus came to set the captive free, to change the wrong into right. It doesn't matter what your wrong is today. You can be right. Man, I'm preaching good this morning. I'm just saying. I'm doing really good. I'm going to eat good, too. I'm just saying. Hey, so all of a sudden, so I put her in season 2B. I put on her seatbelt. I look at the guy in 2A and say, hey, when you get to Kansas City, can you make sure she gets her ride? He goes, yes, I will. I said, if you don't, I'll find you. Can you imagine a big brother like me looking at you saying, I'll find you? Little white man went, oh, I got it. No problem, sir. I'll take her wherever she wants to go. I said, I'm just joking. And Grandma looked at me. She goes, I know who you are. I said, excuse me? She goes, I know who you are. I said, oh, you heard him say my name, Reggie, right? She went, oh, no, no, no. She said, you're Jesus to me. And I'm like, I got to get off the plane, Grandma. She goes, no, listen, right before you came up and took a knee and said to me, Grandma, why are you crying? I prayed. Nobody would heard this. I didn't say it out loud. In my mind, I said, God, I've served you for 60-something years. I've never asked for anything much, and it's been a long time. I've just been grateful for every day, but I need to see my boy just one more time. So, God, if you still love a little old lady, send me something. And at that moment, you said, Grandma, why are you crying? Did I know this was going to happen? No. Every day I look for a way. I look for a reason. I look for something to do. I look for a way to take somebody's poo-poo emoji and just get rid of it. Ain't none of this right. None of this, except that it could be this, but it probably wasn't. I'm just saying, none of these work. None of these. And you know what? This is what Jesus did when he came as a man and he died on the cross and on the third day he rose again. That no matter what anyone has ever put in your life, he came to take it down and give you hope and give you joy and give you peace and let you know that you can make it. Somebody say, so will I. Say, so will I. Come on. Hey, listen to me very carefully. It's time for us to do this. It's time for us not just to save the lost. It's time for us to save the world. So I need your help. I want to read you something. And all you got to do is after I say, so will I, you say it back to me. And after I read this, I'm going to pray, and then pastor's going to come. Because I don't think we could give an altar call for this. I think the altar call happens when we leave this room. The altar call happens in what you do at your victory service tonight. And what you do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and all the next week, and the week after that, and the month after that, and the year after that. But we need to know who God is and why he did this. A friend of mine wrote a song. He's from a country called Australia. And it's pretty cool. The title of his song is So Will I. And it says, God of creation, there to start before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and flushed out the wonder of light. Did y'all get that? So God spoke to nothing and made something. And then he named it light. That's pretty good. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, this planet was formed. And if the stars were made to worship, so will I. Not bad. I can see your heart in everything you made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. Watch this. God of your promise. Anybody ever make you a promise and didn't go through, didn't come through? I've done that. I've had people do it to me. I've done that. We're human. Humans can't do that. But God's a whole different thing. Check him out with his promise. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. You don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. You know what he said? You're the head, not the tail. You know what he said? A cattle on a thousand hill I'll sell for you. That's what he said. He said that about you. You're the apple of my eye. You're the one, you're the one. You're the bright morning star. You're the princess. You're the king. You're the prince. You're it. He said those things. And if it's true, it's true, because no syllable is empty and void. Once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. I like this. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If all reveals your nature, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of you called grace. If creation will obey you, so will I. Help me on this. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the ocean roars your greatness, so will I. If everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. Touch your neighbor and say, so will I. It's time to be that so will I church. How about this? Let's make it personal. God of salvation, you chased down my heart through all of my failure and pride. Anybody ever fail? Usually when we fail, we make up an excuse. Not for us, but for the world. In public schools this week, I'll say to every boy wears a mask. Every boy pretends everything's good when it's bad, happy when it's sad, right when it's wrong. But the mask will fall. Then I say to girls, listen. There's hurt and pain in this world. Mac and Clinique don't make a makeup to cover that kind of pain. So when everything starts running for the girls and everything starts falling for the boys, love never fails. And anybody who knows me knows I'm talking about the love of God. Watch this. You chased down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created, light of the world abandoned in darkness to die. Did y'all catch that? On a hill you created. I'm almost done. But this means this. Back when God spoke and there was light, he formed this planet in the vapor of his voice. It means part of this planet. When God said, put trees there, put a river here, make an ocean there, put a hill there. And when he paused, the angels goes, what's next? He goes, just give me a second. And one of the angels was smart enough to go, why are you waiting? And God goes, that's the hill. It will have a name, the skull, Golgotha. I have to pause because I just made the hill that my son will die on someday. But it'll be okay because he's the ransom for men and women. He's the hope of the world. He's the emoji changer. He's the history maker. He's going to do it on that hill. On a hill you created, light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. Watch this. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Isn't that great? As you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. If you left a grave behind you, so will I. If you left a grave behind you, so will I. Have you ever thought of somebody on a Sunday at 11:49 a.m. who doesn't know Jesus? What are they doing right now? How are they even making it right now? How can they breathe another breath when they don't even know him? How can they live with the disappointments? How can they live with the hurt? And they're just waiting for us to show up. So will I. So will I. So will I. Jesus, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl here that this week you will set us up to be you for this world. Set us up to be you for this community. Set us up to be you, God, to be you, to be you, to be you. Set us up to shine your light bright so that the world may see. God, let us hear stories on Wednesday of people who came to know you on Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, because we decided this week, so will I. We decided this week, so will I. We decided on a Sunday afternoon, so will I. So put people in our path that need hope. Put people in our path that needs hope. With every head bowed, no one looking around. If you're in this room and you say, that last thing I read to you, if you left a grave behind you, so will I. There may be somebody here who's living in sin. On Wednesday night over in the youth, I'm speaking a sermon. I ain't never done it, but I'm going to do it Wednesday. I wrote it last night. It's called The Path to the Pig Pen. The Path to the Pig Pen. That the prodigal son, for him to end up in those pig pens, he had to do certain things to get there. And we're doing certain things to end up there with him today. But today, I cannot let you leave without asking you. God of salvation, he's your salvation. Through all of your failure and your pride, he's calling you from a hill called Calvary, where the light of the world hung his head and he died. He wants you to leave the grave behind you, to leave the sin behind you. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I just have to do this. I'm going to say a prayer. It's Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Say that prayer with me if you need Jesus this morning. You know if there's sin in your life. You know if you've gone too far. You know that if this is you. So everybody, we're going to all say it together. Everybody say, Jesus, come into my life. With my mouth, I declare you, Jesus, are the Son of God. Help me, Jesus, to know you, to love you. God, I need you right here, right now. Today's my day to know Jesus, and I choose Jesus. And in Jesus' name, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Everybody say amen. No more. It may still hurt, but no more. Because if you said that prayer, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So will I. So will I. So will I.